Are you okay? Tired? Is the rain bother you? Yeah? No? Oh. I can tell a rainy day we have more people show up in the church. Maybe it's more rain then. Well, it's really nice to have everyone here. That it's wonderful that we were come to worship God family. The message I want to share with you here this morning is Jesus and his end time people. Now, God already promised before he left this earth, he said that I be with you until the end of ages, right? And so he had promised that, but so many times we forgot. Because we look so deep in our problem, then we block out all the vision that God gave us. I want to start the story, tell you the story, and we go into the Word of God this morning. When you talk about the end time people, it's talking about you and I. And God always have a solution for each one of us. And sometimes we feel like we are not the end yet. Some of you maybe struggle. Some of you not. Everything in life is so sweet. Some family going through a difficult situation. But I want to tell you about this someone who went through a very difficult situation. The time is 95 AD. He stand up for God after the church got persecuted. He followed Jesus Christ. And at that time, whoever followed Jesus Christ was persecuted. And they pull him out of the public place while he shared the word of God. They stop him from preaching. They drag him to the court. And they had come up with a decree that this man need to throw into a burning oil. And different way they persecute people back then. But somehow God have saved this very man, that somehow when you throw someone in a pot of burning oil, I mean, you're going to kill that person instantly. But somehow, miraculous thing happening, not took place. They pull him out. They see that they cannot stop him from preaching. They exile him into the island, small island, deserted island, Patmos. And the man, his name is John. John, the beloved John. John, the revelator. Now, during that time, you have to understand, the missions start to take place. And he not only hate the Christian, but he hate all the religious people. You have to understand, the religions, the Christian is not persecuted because they follow Christ. The Christian were persecuted because they did not obey to Caesar's decree. The missions, in his audacity, he said that every time you refer to him, or every time you write a letter, you have to say, the Lord God Domitian. And when you come to see Domitian, you have to bow down to him. You have to burn incense. You have to do all this. And somehow, the Christian do not follow that decree. And that's why they were persecuted. They not persecuted because they follow Christ. They don't care if you follow Christ or any kind of guru. They care about, do you follow the state decree? You see, the Christian, they have to follow Jesus Christ. And so here it is. So many disciples of Christ, not only the 12 disciples, they were persecuted left and right, and they run to and fro all around. And during that time, the emperors of Roman is expanded so large, took the whole Europe, northern of Africa, all the way into India and throughout the Middle East. And so the mission was to control every single culture, language, and community by making people follow or worship Caesar. Remember the same story took place back in the book of Daniel, some of you remember, when King Darius came onto the throne of Medo-Persia. The decree that he came out in 30 days, you worship no other God beside who? Darius. And so that's how the emperors back then make sure everyone follow the law. And so here's John. He can't bow down anyone else beside God. He can't stop preaching after he saw Jesus love him so much and speak the truth. And so here it is. He speaks in a very lonely, deserted island. No food, no drink. And here God come to him with a vision. You see, when you're going through so much problem, God will come with you to give you hope. Somehow this vision is not a vision of writing a book of Revelation, talk about the beast. Talk about 666, not talking about the end of time, what happened. No, Revelation talk about who? Talk about Jesus. And if you understand about that, it's talking about how to deliver God's people in the book of Revelation. And so if we study the book of Revelation or open chapter of the book of Revelation, all we need to know about all the problem happened, all the decree or prison could happen, you miss the point. And so here's John start to pick up the pen and start writing down what he saw. Beginning, he say, Revelation chapter 1, please follow me. Book of Revelation chapter 1. Now, when we talk about end time people, we need to think about the book Revelation. Now, a lot of people are afraid to read the book of Revelation because it's so hard to understand. But let's try to focus. What positive things out of this? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant, things which must shortly take place. Okay? That means something will happen soon. Okay? Now, some of you say, how soon? Within 2,000 years. Well, the book Revelation been taking place soon since the day one of the first century already. The book Revelation is not happening until the 21st century. It already took place in the first century already. So soon, this means starting then and carry throughout the ages, okay? So not soon people say, oh, soon what happened? We have to look in the eyes of the book, the eyes of John at that time, not through our eyes at this time. Okay. That took place, and he sent signify it by his angel and his servants, John. So he bring this message to John, who bore witness to the word of God and to testimony of Jesus Christ and to all things that he saw. So this what John saw in his vision. How many times, I don't know. What time of the day, I don't know. But whatever he God have shown him, he put on this very book. Now, the purpose God gives to this vision is not only to help him to go through difficulty. See, a lot of times people think that, oh, John received this message for us. No, also received for him. Because he struggled. He's lonely. He was separate from his family. He was outcast. I remember Elijah. Remember when the prophet go against Elijah and King Ahab against Elijah, he ran away for what, like a 26 mile, like a marathon, without eating, without stopping, without drinking water, just like your mom sings, run a half marathon. Elijah ran and he say he go to the cave and what did he say to God? Let me what? Die. So he was down. He was outcast. He wanted to end his life. John, the same place right here. John was going through so much. God, I thought you said you're going to help me throughout the end time, but you are not. And God said, John, I can give you a vision. You find hope in this vision. And because he find hope in this vision, he began to write this letter that he wrote here to the seven churches. Why seven churches? Those are the seven churches stand at that time, were persecuted. You can read all that in book Revelation chapter 2 and 3. They're talking about these churches were persecuted. And he have to have write this letter to them to give them what? Hope. Here, verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. Now, John will start a very interesting point here. He writes a letter to name him as one of them. If you look at verse 9, say, I, John, both your brother and your companion in what? Tribulation. Do not think for once that you at the seven churches were persecuted and I was sent into the island of Patmos like Hawaii. No, I have been tribulation just like you. But I find hope in this vision I want to reveal to you. My friend, sometimes we go through so much trouble, we have to need the book Revelation give us hope. We will find out how do we get hope here. Sometimes we struggle finance, we struggle in school, we struggle how to make end meet, we stress our workplace, and this is what John have went through. He said, I'm in tribulation, and I want to send you this message. What is the message? You're talking about Jesus. So there's three things about Jesus that we need to know. What are the three titles for Jesus Christ? Verse 5. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, let me know, Jesus Christ first, the faithful witness, that's number one. Number two is the firstborn from the dead. And verse 3 is ruler over kings of the earth. Let unfold one thing at a time. And this, you know, when you follow some dream and then you fall so many times, you think about, you know, that dream never come true. You know? It's not going to come true. Just forget about that dream. If you follow someone that you fall in love so many times, you say, you know, it's not worth it. I'm going to try to chase someone else. And God tried to tell here, you've been a Christian so long, for the last 50 years, you were persecuted. You know what? I'm going to give you a clear picture of who Jesus Christ. Why? Because they forgot about it. And sometimes we in the church so long, we worship God, we wait for his coming, we learn about the Bible doctrine, we get dry after a while, we say, you know, I'm not going to stick with this denomination, I'm going to stick with the church, I'm tired of it, and start leaving. No, God said, no, do not leave it. I got to give you this message. Who is Jesus? Yes, you follow Jesus, but what happened? You forgot about him. You forgot why you follow him and reject the word. Who is Jesus? Jesus, the one you follow, is a faithful witness. He's faithful. Through thick and thin, even persecution, he's faithful. And so he wanted to remind people back in the book of John. Turn with me in the book of John chapter 18, verse 37. John 18, verse 37. Is Jesus a faithful one? A faithful witness? Well, John chapter 18, verse 31, when Jesus stands in front of Pilate, okay? And Pilate say, if you just say to me, you ask me for forgiveness, I will give you and you will live. But here it is. Pilate said this. Verse 31. And Pilate said to them, John chapter 18, and sorry, verse 37. 37, Pilate therefore said to him, are you the king of men? A king then? Are you the king? And Jesus said, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. For this cause I have come into the world. And I should bear witness to what? To the truth. The purpose Jesus come to this world is present to you the truth. Because the truth will set you free. See, a lot of people today don't have absolute truth. We enjoy the revelative truth. That means it's true to you, it doesn't mean true to me. Whoever want to follow, whatever people follow. You see, what problem in this world today? God want to bear the truth, but people say, you know, well, I have my own truth. I believe this, I believe that, I believe everything. So Jesus Christ said, this is the truth. And so Jesus stand in front of Pilate, say, the truth I will share with you, and everyone who is of the truth will hear my voice. Boy, that make Pilate really mad. Pilate don't care about what truth you have. Pilate said, you know, I can release you if you just bow down to me. But Jesus says, no. I'm not going to bow down to the king of this world. I will present the truth from heaven. You see, today, you and I follow the truth, right? We follow the truth that we join the church, we join the Christian denomination, we become an Adventist member. Remember that, because one of these days, when you're in tribulation, you look back and say, oh no, am I walking the right path or not? But John reaffirmed, yes, you're on the right path because you follow Jesus. Jesus is the witness, is the faithful witness. And so Jesus is the one that you've been following. Now, second point number two, that what? Not only a faithful witness, verse 5, but also firstborn from the dead. Now, the dead ring a bell to you guys? I mean, during that first century, probably ring a bell to everyone. When talking about the dead decree, I mean, that's scary. Today, that doesn't mean anything touch me. Firstborn from the dead. What does that mean? That means that church, you've been persecuted. Remember, you've been going through tribulation. But remember, Jesus was resurrected from the dead. So that means no one can harm you. They might kill you physically, but they cannot kill your soul. This is give hope to the church. Through persecution, through tribulation, they can able to move on, believe in Jesus Christ, move on to speak the truth, move on to witness to other people. Because death is meaningless. Because death is what? It's just asleep. See, that's why the church has been grown lips and bound, because they know the truth. They know death of this world only in sleep. While other people are afraid of death, afraid of sleep, they surrender their faith. They walk away from what they've been receiving in the first place. And so this is give hope to, yes, that's my Jesus. I've been to surrender my heart to him. And so that's why John remind them. And the third point is this here. The third point, we will see this here. That, verse 5, continue, and ruler over kings of earth. That means Jesus is kings of kings and lords of lords. Do you mean the mission try to persecute God people? And God, I mean, Jesus come back and say, I am even higher than the mission. I am higher than any king of this world. I am the highest in the universe. You serve a king that oversees the universe, not only a local king in Roman Empire. And see, these things try to redefine the title of Jesus Christ to give hope into the church. My friend, today, the last day, church, same thing. There's time that we lose hope. This is what we need to read the book Revelation to build the hope that Jesus that we have put our feet for the foundation we stand, he stand now and to forever. Now, what does that mean? Yeah, Jesus did all that. Jesus is a faithful witness. He continued witness to other people. Yes, he was firstborn from the dead. And he also ruler of the universe. What does that mean to me? Did God do anything for me when I'm in tribulation? What did he do for me? Well, that's people probably asking that. Probably you and I are going to ask the same thing. Well, now we move into the next phrase here. Jesus Christ not only revealed to you what is his title, but he going to demonstrate to you how he been work in his people. What he do for you and I. Verse 5, to him who loved us. Number one, mark that. Number one, what did he do for us? He loved us. Number two, what did he do? He washed us from sin, from our sin in his own blood. That's number two. Number three, what did he do? That he make us kings and priests to his God and Father. That means he anointed us to be king and priest. What does that mean? And number four, that he deliver us. If you read the Bible, it says, from our, to him to be glory and dominion forever and ever. That means he promised he will take us home. That's what he did for his people then. He are doing for his people now. Number one, he loved us. Remember your first love. You love me. That's why you follow me. Yes, persecution will come. People might ridicule you. Maybe people will see you an odd, something odd thing in here. No, but you are different. I love you. So God's love is how attract us to him. So first of all, he said, I always love you. Even though you reject me, even though you will leave me, even you abandon me, even though you persecute me, I will always love you. You see, that love is so important that God wants to love us. Remember, pay attention. He loves us before he washes us. You know what I'm talking about. He loves us before he washes. Sometimes we have to wash someone clean before we love them, right? But Jesus, no. I love you when you were sinner, not because when you're righteous. I touch you when you were a leper, when no one would touch you. I come to you when you were outcast, when no one visited you. You see, at that time, we don't even know what God is. We don't even follow God, but he always demonstrates, he always loves us. You see, love is so important. Jesus comes this way, he demonstrates his love. He doesn't come in here to say, okay, this is what you do, you'll be righteous, then I love you. No, he come and demonstrates his love. That's why he able to visit the outcast, able to touch the people who are leper, that he touched the people unclean. The people say, wow, who are this man? He wanted to demonstrate to us, he always loves us. One time an evangelist told a story. There's a daughter running out of the house, enjoying the playground. And I saw the mother in the house, saw this young little girl run into the garden. She came out of the house and run after the daughter. And the daughter looked behind, thought the mom wanted to run out and have fun with her. And just like play hide and seek, you know, so she runs and runs. And the mother said, no. And the girl just kept running. She ran into the garden full of rose bushes. The mom knew very well her daughter would hurt herself. And so she ran to the rose bush. She somehow played close to it and accidentally touched it and fell into the rose bushes and get all scratched up. And mama ran after her. She also ran into the rose bushes, pulled all the rose bush out with her hand to pull her daughter out. And as she goes to the home, look at mother's hand, all bloodstained, all the thorns sticking to it. My friend, that's what Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saw us dying to this world with thorn. Jesus jumped into this world to save us. All the scars Jesus have is because for you and for me. He demonstrated us his love before we were sinners. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. What a love of Jesus do for us. If only me sin in this world, Jesus willing to come and die just for me, just for you. And so here it is, John tried to pen this idea, say, you know, churches, do not abandon your faith. Jesus is still at work. He still loves you. He still wants to cherish you. Do not forget that. Number two, that we saw his, what did he do for us? He also washed us. Well, how did he wash us? From water? No, with his blood. What does blood mean? That means someone has to die. Jesus has to die in order to rescue us because we are sinners. And the wage of sin is what? Is dead. So that means we will receive the death penalty, but Jesus said, no, I want to receive the death penalty for he and for she, for everyone in this world. I love them so much, I will wash them. I will wash them so they will be perfect into the Father's house. Do not forget that. Jesus loves us so much that he's willing to die for us. And Lucifer loves us so much, is he willing to die for us? No. If anyone loves you so much, willing to sacrifice for you, what type of love is that? Jesus will do everything for you and I. And so now, the persecuted church, the member of the church at the end time, same thing. You know what? God have done everything for us to be saved. You know, we look at ourselves as a sinner. We cannot see how can we be saved. right? But when we look at Jesus, he is a Savior. We can look at him, we can question, how can we be lost? He will do everything that we can be saved. If you just believe in him just a very little bit, you're already saved, my friend. Because he's there to save you. So that's point number two. That's how we work for you. Work number three. This is very important for the church. For the people who've been followed Christ, for the leader of the church, listen here. He makes us kings and priests. Wow. You become a king. You can do whatever you want to. What about when the next day that you receive a letter, now you become a president of the United States? Wow, man. Really? I mean, I can do whatever I want to now? That's what you're a king. You're a priest. What does that mean? What does it mean by king? You see, at that time, they were persecuted by kings. But now you be king of them. What does king mean? You go in a book of you go into a book of Proverbs chapter 31 for me. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 4 and 5. You know, when you are being selected king and ambassador for God, you got to really be careful how you demonstrate yourself. Because you are representative of God's kingdom. So when you become a king, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't think about king. If you a manager or a supervisor, the way you dress, the way you conduct yourself, the way you act, you have to be very careful. You make sure that you keep up the really high standard, right? And when you are the king, what happened? Verse 30, chapter 31 of Proverbs, verse 4 and 5. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for king to drink wine. Okay, that's the Bible, king not to drink wine. Not the king of this world. We are the king of Son of God here. Nor the princes intoxicating drink. Let they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. That means when you become the king, do not touch the drink. Do not wear those clothes. Do not act like that. Do not go to places like other people. You are the king now. You have a standard to follow. And so when you become the child of God, you become the church of the remnant church, you have to live the standard of the king. You know why you have a standard? Why don't we become just like everyone else? If you become a darkness like every person living in dark world, they're not looking for you. You have to become a light to the world. You got to be different. Today, people, let mingle with every people and let dress like other people, let eat like other people, drink like other people, and so we can bring them to Christ. My friend, you cannot bring people to Christ like that. They say, why should I go to church if you and I are going to look the same? I don't want to. Why should I go to church? Why do I follow Christ? We are the same. My friend, we got to be different because the way of the world will go down destruction. And when they go down destruction, they look for hope. They look for you and I. So we need to put up the standard. Do not compromise the standard. Because you are the chosen people. You are the king. What about the priest? Go to Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9. And here it is, Aaron. When he become the priest that God selected him, and here this was the standard that Moses had penned down. Okay? Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9. Do not drink wine or an intoxicating drink, you nor your son with you, when you go into the tabernacle of the meeting, lest you what? You die. If you want to be a light of the world, do not shut the light down, because or else God will shut it down. So we need to be the priest. You know what the priests were? The priests represent God to his people. You have to conduct the ceremony, the sacrifice, and so pleasing to God. You cannot please to God if you go to the world standard or compromise to the world. And so the priest, you need to set yourself up. Like the church at the time of the persecuted, you set yourself up. You love people. You represent people. You care for people. Don't care what other people will do to you. You will extend your hand out to help people and to preach, to let them know the salvation message. You see, why do God's church get persecuted, tribulation? Because the devil wants to stop that. You see, the mission tried to stop the preaching of John. Man, you cannot preach. I'm going to throw you a burning oil pot and we can kill you. Cannot preach. Why can't I do that? Why I'm going to throw you in the exile in the forest, deserted island that you cannot preach? Guess what? Somehow the letter, John Revelator, the book Revelation, go into the church. You see, the devil cannot stop us. The devil say, if we don't preach, God will call the rock to preach. And so God called each one of us to stand up for the truth because God have anointed us to be kings and priests. He said, we are priests. We are priests. We not only live for the standard for ourselves, but we intercessor for other people. That's what the priest, right? The priest intercessed for other people so God can save them. So when we are priests, that means we are intercessor for other people before the wrath of God come down to the people. Remember Moses. Moses took 2 million people out of Egypt, walked in the wilderness for 40 years. And the people complained they want to go back to Egypt. And God, they did so evil thing, and God wanted to destroy these people. And God said, I will destroy all these people, Moses. I will bring you out of this land. And I will make you the new nation. Do you think Moses happy of that? Is Moses happy? No. He went to the mountain, prayed for 40 days and 40 nights, and asked God to remove the wrath out of his people. So because Moses, Aaron, is God's people, we are God's people, the priests, we need to intercess for other people. Yes, other people, God might send persecution of them. No, God, do not do that. I want to intercess for them. I want to pray for them. Please save them. When the enemy persecutes you, what do? Pray for them. That's what the priests are about. God chose you. He not only loves you, he not only washes you, but he anoints you king and priest. Verse 4 things that he did for us. And he will continue to do for us. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Remember, in the end of verse 6, say, be glory, dominion forever. And he's talking about his coming. Behold, verse 7, behold, he come in the cloud, and every eye shall see him, they also who pierce him. And all the tribe in the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. So God will come back to deliver his people. Guess what? The seven churches through persecution. When the message say, I will deliver you, what do you think? All right. I'm going to stick to that. I'm going to wait for that day. You see, that's a hope message. If you're going through trial, problem, or stress, and someone say, don't worry, God will take care of that. Just ride it through. Guess what? You continue. You have faith. You know that the person who have rescued you, saved you, died for you, will take you through thick and thin. Okay? And so the last verse here, verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, said the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. He not only the past, the present, but also the future, because I'm the beginning and the end. I start everything and I will end everything. No one will control you. Don't worry, church. Don't worry, church member. I will take care of everything. I will deliver you. I will deliver you. Maybe it takes some time. But God said, you know why it takes so much time? Because there's many other people that I need you to witness. I'm waiting so many more people accept Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Do not think that I'm delayed, but I wait one more soul to be saved. So somehow the work of God here, love and wash us and anoint us and also deliver us, give a powerful message to the persecuted church. And this also give a powerful message to the remnant church at the end time. Do not leave your first love. Remember the denomination that you enter. Believe that God will use you to the end time. And when all things is done, he's come back to deliver us, take us home. He will take us home. Do not worry. Believe in me. I will go to prepare a place for you. And when I went to prepare a place for you, I will what? Come back and take you with me. Wherever I am, you will be there also. My friend, this is church. This is the letter of Paul with so much with hope. When I read the book Revelation, I find hope in this church. Sometimes it's so hard, so difficult, so proud, so much problem. I find this book is bring hope to me. God's always there. And if you continue with it like John, he finds peace and happiness at the end of his life. The world might say, oh no, he died of a terrible death. But you know what? He find out he slept with Christ. The world's eyes is different. But our eyes is different. Our Lord's coming back. We work for him. We stand for him. And this is where it belongs to him. But he want to use us to change this world. To save as many people as possible. So many people live out there, do not know Christ. They need salvation message, but they don't know. And we are the one who bring that message. Because one of these days, when Jesus come back and they find themselves in the kingdom of God, they come to you, and they come to me, and they come to you and say, thank you that you did everything possible to save me. And that's what this message is all about. Throughout the whole book, encouraging our church, continue to go forward. And I'm so happy, beginning of this year, that the book of Revelation unfold again in our Sabbath school study. I pray that each one of you study deep into the Word of God to know our Jesus Christ, who anxious more than us to come us and to take us home. Shall we pray? Dear Lord our God, thank you for us to let us peek into John's life, that he went through so much, but he still finds hope into this remnant church. Help us to be likewise, God. As we read through this book, as we study, as we listen and do everything that's written in this book, help us to find hope as well. Whenever we go through a tough time, a difficult situation, a stressful job, a difficult family, we look at you as a deliverer. We look at you, hope for us in a time of need. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, church.